Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have moved to the book of Colossians and are examining the opening verse where Paul identifies himself as the author in the normal form of epistles in that day, where the sender, the name of the author of the epistle, the letter, was mentioned first, not last, as is our custom. We write a letter and sign it at the end, and if the letter runs more than a page, I'm sure you do what I do, which is when I get a letter, if I'm not sure who it's from, I move to the last page, whatever that is, and look at the name of the sender, the person who signed the letter, first. It isn't very helpful to read a letter that you don't know who it's from. You've got to know who the author is, so it really makes more sense to put the name of the author first. In other words, the first century customs for the forms of letters make more sense to me than our 20 and 21st century American customs, English customs today. Occasionally, just as an aside, I will get a letter that has no signature, and I seldom will read it. I can't say that I never have. Sometimes curiosity gets the best of me. But my stated practice is, if I get an anonymous letter that has no signature, it goes in the wastebasket unread. And even if curiosity compels me to read it, it will still go in the wastebasket after it's read. Don't send anonymous letters. Don't be a coward. If you're not willing to sign your name to what you have to say, then it doesn't deserve to be said. It ought not to be said. If you can't identify with what's being said, then what you have to say should not be said. But that is an aside, and we need to get back to Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so that's where we are on this Thursday, August 6th, and we are broadcasting because of the gifts of radio listeners just like you. Thank you so very much. Paul identifies himself not only as the author of this epistle, but as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't mention that in all of his epistles, only in a few of them. He does not tell the Philippian church that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, or the Thessalonian church. He doesn't mention that in the book of Philemon. But he does actually mention the majority of his epistles, and he certainly states that here, right up front. It's not simply Paul writing to the church at Colossae, or Paul, along with Timothy, our brother, writing to the church of Colossae, but Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Well, what is so tremendously significant about being an apostle of Jesus Christ? Well, I hope I don't have to convince you that it is important, but I hope to make you understand even more greatly the significance of that importance. What is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and why is that so important? Apostles of Jesus Christ were those who were commissioned and authorized as messengers of Christ. And Christ selected his own apostles. Let me read from Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he, that is Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. There's an awful lot said in those verses, so let me go back through it. He went up on a mountain. He is separating himself from his normal places of ministry. This is a significant event. It requires a significant operation. And Christ would go up into the mountains from time to time for special purposes, and this is certainly one of those special purposes. He went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. Sometimes we get the idea that Jesus always invited everyone who wanted to come to him, to hear him, to be with him. But that actually is not borne out in Scripture. And here's one of many places where we read something just like this. He called to him those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12. Now, what we're not told here is how many he called, and then did he appoint a smaller number. That would seem to be the indication. He called a limited number of people unto himself, the ones he wanted to be involved in this process, to be present, to be witnesses, to be able to affirm and testify to others that Jesus had indeed selected these 12. And then of the larger company that he called to himself, but this larger company wasn't nearly as large as the multitudes who followed him, who thronged him at this early point in his ministry. He really thinned the crowds out as he went along, but at the early part of his ministry, they thronged him from every side. But on this occasion, he didn't say, "This is for everybody. I want everybody here. Everybody come. Anybody who wants to come, whosoever will may come," or anything like that. No, he selected who would go up on the mountain, who would be privileged to participate in this event. And then of those that he called to up on the mountain, he appointed 12. Not 15, not 20, not 10, not 9, not 11, not 13, 12. That, and he tells us here, Mark tells us here, the purpose for this appointment, that, number one, they might be with him, and, number two, that he might send them out to preach. So he called them to be with him. That's for preparation, for training, for school. And then to send them out to preach. That's the commissioning with an authorized message. So these apostles have a select task. They have a unique preparation. Nobody else was allowed to be with Jesus at all times, like the apostles were. Some who wanted to were not allowed to. Did you know that? There were some who said, "I would like to be with you." I'm looking at Mark chapter 5, where Jesus healed the demon-possessed man. And when he did, and he cast the demons out, and they went into the swine, and so forth. And then they came to Jesus, verse 15, and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Here Jesus is not being invited to come, invited to stay, invited to heal, invited to preach, invited to minister. He's being, if we want to use polite language, invited to leave. He's being told to leave, to get out of here. They began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he, Jesus, got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he's had compassion on you. And he departed, and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Do you get the significance of this? Here was a man who had been wonderfully, miraculously, powerfully healed by Christ. The demons were cast out. Now, he wanted to become a disciple of Christ in that more limited sense. He really didn't know what he was asking, but in a sense, he was asking to become an apostle of Christ. He wanted to be with Jesus wherever he went. He wanted to have the same privileges and nearness to Christ as the apostles. He saw this group of apostles. They came with Christ across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, in a boat, a fishing boat. They were with him. They obviously were part of his team. They helped him. They ministered to him. They were involved in the ministry. He saw that. He wanted to do that. He requested, he begged that he might be with him. And Jesus said, no. No. That doesn't mean that he couldn't believe in him. Of course he could. That doesn't mean that he couldn't be a follower of Christ in the sense of being a disciple in the broader sense of that term, of anyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ as a disciple, a follower of Christ. But Jesus said, no, you can't be with me. You can't join this other group. You can't get in the boat and go with me. You can't be with me wherever I am. That is for a limited number of people, and that is only for those that I select. You see, apostles were a very select group of men, very limited, very privileged, very narrowly defined. And I'm not sure if the apostles at the beginning understood how great was their privilege, but I hope they understood it as they went along, and I think they did. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him in that special relationship that was denied to others, that they might be with him. These were basically going to be with him pretty much 24/7. They would be with him wherever he went. They would be with him wherever he ate. They would be with him wherever he slept. They would be with him wherever he traveled. They would be with him wherever he taught. They would be with him at all times, on all occasions, except for some very rare occasions when he actually separated himself from them. Sometimes taking only the inner circle, the three, with him to a particular place. But most of the time, they were with him 24 hours a day. That's pretty intense training. You don't even get that kind of close monitoring, close teaching, close one-on-one teaching and mentoring and discipling in schools. Not usually 24/7, but that's what was going on here. These men were getting intense training that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. There is the apostolic commission that went with their preaching. And now we have to bring this broadcast to a close, so Lord willing, we'll take it up again right here tomorrow. I invite you to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.